Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show, 13 August 2014, Wednesday. Thank you for joining us. Middle of the week here, and as we look at what's happening around the world, it's all about killing. That seems to be the answer the United States government has for absolutely everything. No matter what type of humanitarian issue it is, we'll just kill them, and that will take care of the problem. I am sorry to be so sarcastic. Is that the word? I don't think so. I think it's realistic. And what we're looking at is a war upon war upon another war to try and cure the first problem, which was we just want to kill people in the first place. I'm sorry to say that, but let's just call it what it is. And so why is it now that the rest of the world is starting to feel the same way, and or the United States populace who thinks, well, just killing is the answer? Seems to be the answer for the government, and that's what's happening. You teach people how to treat you is the problem. Mm-hmm. We are going to discuss war today because that seems to be the general theme through everything that happens in our foreign policy. There's no strategy, just kill them. And I don't know how we could be any more clear than that, and let's talk about the Yazidis. This phony reason for us to get involved in a war again. And then I'm going to give you the 9 top reasons to stop bombing Iraq. As if we need past number 1.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Just stop the bombing because we don't need to be doing it. We got lots of news for you here today. And, of course, following up on what happened in Ferguson, Illinois last night. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad to have you at the Power Hour today. J.D.? What you got for us today?
I'm going to teach you all how to weaponize your cat.
Oh, really?
And by that, I mean to use a common off-the-shelf cat for a Wi-Fi hacking weapon. It's true. That's going to happen. And we're also going to have...
A common off-the-shelf cat.
Off-the-shelf. Just your regular, typical off-the-shelf cat. We'll teach you how to make it into a super spy, a super Wi-Fi spy. Also, has the mystery of the white flags on the Brooklyn Bridge been solved?
Oh.
I think it very well may have been. Some people have taken credit, and their story seems pretty convincing, so we're going to talk about that. In the financial news right now, Bitcoin's sitting about $550, so it has dropped a little bit. Gold is sitting at $1,309. Silver, $1,990. Dow futures are actually up a little bit, about 62 points right now. Our second hour guest today is going to be Sherry Edwards, a lady at the pinnacle of the point between health and frequency. It's going to be a very fascinating discussion with her. And then in the third hour, Greg Palast is going to join us today.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, the insights that gentleman has got. This is going to be riveting. So this will be a really busy show today.
It is. Lots of good information.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Palast is always full of information. He's been doing a lot of research. And he is heading down to Argentina. And he's been doing a lot of homework on the situation in Argentina. And we'll find out just how serious it is. In fact, he's been requested to come down to Argentina. I find that most interesting. We will talk about Ebola. You know, when that Spanish priest died of Ebola in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the red flags didn't seem to go up here in the United States of, wow, it's in another country now.
Right.
But lots of things happening with the Ebola. And, of course, we're pleased that Sherry Edwards is even going to address Ebola. I got an interesting email from her. Now, this is a woman who listens to frequencies in people's voice. Now, those of you who want to say, oh, frequencies are woo-woo, then just find something else to listen to, because frequencies are what everything is. A rock gives off a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
A Kleenex gives off frequency. That is not of the devil. It is not of the devil. It is what was made into that thing to make it what it is. Otherwise, if you change the frequency, a rock would be a Kleenex.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the way it works. I know it's hard to get through our minds. It really is. But if you can understand that each essential oil has a different frequency and does a different thing to the body, it's a really good thing. So we'll be back after this 3-minute break. This is Joyce Riley.
And J.D. Moore.
And the Power Hour. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us today, this Wednesday, the 13th of August. If you were born after, I don't even know what year we would place on it, but if you were born after a certain year, you have seen the United States involvement in other countries, mainly in killing people. It's not an issue of, let's figure out a way for peace. They may say that as they're transferring fighters, and they're transferring weaponization, illegal weapons. When you understand that the United States government makes its money from illegal and legal weapon sales, you understand we got to keep that business going. It's the same thing as in healthcare. If illness is your biggest domestic product that we offer, mm-hmm. think about that, then healthcare is feeding your own gates.
Mm-hmm.
So we have healthcare and or illness. Oh, you could fill in Ebola, West Nile fever virus, cancer, whatever you want to include there, along with the answer is killing people. No matter what it is or where it is. But you see, people have become so immune to this, and I'm talking about our own citizens and citizens otherwhere and other places, that it's all okay. That's just the way it's done. So, I mean, is there any other way? I mean, you have an issue with somebody else and you go kill them, or you attack their families and their people and their land and take whatever they have because you say, well, you made us mad, so therefore we get to own it.
Well, we've been trained as Americans to react that way by television, by movies, by, you know, this agenda of desensitization that has come through the video game systems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see it if you go back just 30 years and watch that trend. That's why I don't watch movies like the Saws and the Hostels. I can't watch that stuff because I want to stay sensitized to violence, because it's important to recognize that when someone's doing that to a friend of yours, you need to step in at that point. So I try and make sure I'm sensitized. But yeah, there's been an agenda of desensitization.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And the games that the children play have played into that role perfectly. That has been a part of the it's okay to go kill people. And it's okay to play like you're killing people because you're not really killing people. But then when you do kill people, it's just, well, killing people. And that's just the way it's done. I mean, killing people, killing people, killing people. It's just, that's what we hear about all the time. How many people were killed today in fill in the blank?
Yes.
Doesn't make it if it's Chicago, or it doesn't make any difference if it's in Gaza. So the killing that took place in Gaza, let's go back to that for a second. That was hugely desensitizing people to the fact that it's okay to kill them because they're a label. They're
different,
Hamas.
Different,
yeah.
Essentially.
The fact that only, you know, 0.1% of them was Hamas doesn't make any difference. It's okay to kill them all. But not over in Iraq, where those are Christians, which really aren't Christians, Yazidis.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we tell you they're Christians, and so therefore we can go kill for them because that'll get your heart in the whole issue of believing we need to go save those people on the mountain. Those hundreds of thousands of people on the mountain. All right, let's talk about why those hundreds of thousands of people are on that mountain in the first place. Because the United States government went in 1991, well, let's back up a little bit, 1988, to tell you about how bad it is and setting up this scenario. Do you remember those pictures of those little babies at Halabja laying there with their mouth open, gasping or dead already from the gas that was flown over them by Iraq?
Hmm.
That was Halabja. Well, remember why we killed Saddam Hussein? He killed people at Halabja. That was the reason we had to kill him.
Yeah.
It was war crimes.
Right.
Right. Except the United States government was behind that killing. In 1988, the United States government, under the project Nimble Archer, provided the weapons, provided the Bell helicopters, provided the nozzles on those Bell helicopters to spray that gas on those babies over in Halabja. Because I talked with one of the gentlemen who was in special forces that was responsible for training the Iraqis to do it. And that's kind of like, well, we didn't do it. We just trained the Iraqis to do it, mm-hmm. in 1988. Because in 1983, Donald Rumsfeld went over there, shook hands, said, I'm an envoy from the United States, and I'm here to help you and to arm you. He was not an envoy from the Reagan administration. He was the president of GlaxoSmithKline. Or was it GlaxoSmithKline or...
I thought it was Glax. Yeah. I think
anyway,
so.
He was... No, I don't think it was. Anyway, he was president of a pharmaceutical company at that time. He went over there under the guise of, here, we're here to help you, and they armed him with weapons. Illegal weapons. And then that's what the United States government did with Iraq in 1991, just prior to 1991, arming them in Matrix, the Matrix Corporation out of Ohio. And they fulfilled all their need for Iraq to have weapons. Then, according to Jane's Defense Weekly, they trebled their weapon sales to the countries around Iraq because they knew that Iraq was going to eventually go into Kuwait because Kuwait was slant drilling of oil. Slant drilling oil is really considered a crime. If you put your pipes underneath their country and take their oil, that's not good. So the United States knew this was taking place, and April Glaspie, who was our Secretary of State, said, hey, whatever you and Kuwait do is your own business. That is until Iraq decided to do something to Kuwait, and then the United States started bombing them. Knowing full well that could have been probably stopped. It could have been stopped. But no, they didn't want to stop it. So the killing and the fighting started. Now, those of you who have heard about the highway to hell during the first Gulf War. Now, remember, Iraq and Iran were fighting prior to that in 1988. United States wanted to make sure that we were on the winning side. So the United States government armed Iraq and Iran. So now we've got the whole scenario unfolding where we're the winner no matter what. We're the big brother of whatever team wins. And the killing has just gone from there. And the poor people in Iraq, I mean, I don't care who or what they are. They have been a victim of the United States government since the mid, I know, well, before, because they were involved in the demise of their leaders, before 1988, before the 1980s. So United States government has played a role, a huge role, with four generations of presidents, four consecutive presidents bombing people in Iraq. Now, how's that bombing thing working for you, U.S. government? Are we seeing any positive things take place? Absolutely not. That's not the goal. The goal is to decimate and bring them down to the lowest common denominator.
Well, I'm sure that the people who are rebuilding the infrastructure and the people who are owning the oil derricks and the people who are providing all of the weapons, I'm sure they're seeing a lot of benefit from this. I'm sure the shareholders of Halliburton are doing quite well. And same thing with Exxon and Shell and things like that. It's just the people there that aren't doing anything. And that is the point, I think.
The poor people are such victims now. They are just without any hope, any way, shape, or form. And so now we've got the introduction of this ISIS group. The latest threat that we have to go and kill is ISIS. But the United States has been known. I mean, why is it the average person out there doesn't know by now that the United States government has been arming, aiding, and abetting ISIS? They've been creating these people, creating these monsters. Why do you think they're so organized? Do you think these people that are out in the middle of the desert there with no electricity, no water, no nothing half the time, because we bombed them into oblivion, are so socially networked that they can just handle a war and create a fighting group out of nothing in 2 years and do an annual report at that? Britain is intensifying its involvement in Iraq by flying military equipment on behalf of Jordan to the Kurdish forces fighting the Islamic State jihadist in northern Iraq, or IS, as we're told they have now changed their name to. I guess ISIS was way too long, so they had to abbreviate that. And dispatching a fleet of Chinook helicopters to airlift Yazidi refugees besieged on Mount Sinjar. Hours after the Kurdish secretary, or security chief, Mazur Barzani, pleaded with Britain to rally the help of the Kurds, the government's emergency committee, COBRA, agreed to transport Jordanian military trucks to Erbil. The move comes amid growing pressure on David Cameron to launch military strikes against the extremist. Kill, kill, and more kill. That's the answer. Britain has some sympathy for the French view through the government, though the government may not join in arming the Kurds, amid signs that it may be a step too far for the liberal Democrat. You know, all this debate on both sides of why the war and why we need to go kill them and why we need to do this and that, all centers around
killing, agenda, I don't know.
But
money?
Three-letter word?
War?
Oil?
Oil. Oh, well, absolutely. It's about, well, I think it's about that and opium production and the trillion dollars of lithium that we just happened to find in Afghanistan. I mean, that Russia found in the 80s. I mean, that we just found in Afghanistan, $1 trillion worth of lithium. I think there's a lot of angles to this whole agenda.
So now we're going to support the Kurds because the Kurds are around Exxon.
Exactly.
Total. All those oil companies
Chevron.
Are up there.
Mm-hmm.
Chevron. All the oil companies are up there. So therefore, we now have a reason to get in there, along with Britain, of course, and protect the oil. So all the wars now are around the oil. Now, remember, they were headed, ISIS was headed toward Baghdad. They're 37 miles, you know, 36.5 miles. We watched that for a few days,
mm-hmm.
remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they're within striking distance of Baghdad, and I told you at the time. Now, not because I'm so smart, but because I figured out they're not going toward Baghdad.
Mm-mm.
They were not going there because it wasn't time for them to go toward Baghdad, because the game would sort of be like over if ISIS took over Baghdad.
Yeah, that's like the checkmate move. That's the one you wait
yes.
until the end, at least till you get all your other ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's really no oil in Baghdad to try and take over. It's not going to really benefit ISIS as an organization as much as taking over, you know, the oil derricks in Kurdistan would mm-hmm. do. But we have a vested interest there, so we're not going to allow that to happen.
Yes, and let's reflect back on when the atrocities were occurring in Gaza. U.S. was on the side of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Never a concern for these people are, and now they're actually saying it. Yesterday, CNN did a report on, did you know they only have 3 miles out that they can fish? Did you know the people in Gaza have no way into Israel? Did you know they're not allowed to? Really? Well, you must have seen that video then. We'll be back after this 4-minute break with the Power Hour. Stay tuned. This is Joyce.
And JD.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thanks for joining us, caring about your world. JD just gave me the correct pharmaceutical company that Donald Rumsfeld, how can I forget that? G.D. Searle. G.D. Searle, the same one that brings you aspartame. How could I forget that? He was a president and CEO of G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company when he went to Iraq under the guise of, hi, I'm an envoy from the Reagan administration. That was to legitimize his purchasing and selling of biological and chemical weapons, of which they did. All right, let's talk about this war. There's 9 reasons to stop bombing in Iraq. Number one, it is not a rescue mission. We don't go kill people to rescue them. And so the idea that they can get you to believe that there's Christians on a mountain, which are not Christians, and that we need to go save them, so we must bomb the rest of the people. You know what? To drop food, you don't even have to kill people. I don't know if they know that or not.
That's a true story. Yeah. I'm not even believing that there's a mountain at this point, let alone the Christians and the rescue. I'm skeptical of the actual mountain even at this point.
We're skeptical of the story, other than CNN says it's true. And JD was just asking me, how many people can go in a Chinook helicopter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that depends on how many CNN reporters and photographers there are.
Well, I'm just trying to do some simple math, because you posed the question of how long this operation is going to take, you know, and if we're looking at 40,000 people on a mountaintop and you can get 5 to 8 into a Chinook every time, that's like 6,500 trips on a helicopter. And where are they taking these people?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how far away are they flying them? It it doesn't make any sense. And you see it on TV and it's just so obviously scripted nonsense.
It is. But I don't know where they're getting these crying children and how they're getting them to cry. But to handle these children on the crying mountain, on the mountain crying. And these children were, you know, I could tell they were saying mommy, daddy in Arabic. I could tell that because I could tell that. And I know that these children were in pain. But like JD said, did they just tase them to make them cry? I don't know.
Promise them ice cream and then not give it to them?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not difficult to make a 6 and 7-year-old cry, really.
But it was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, it was so painful. I turned it off and I said, what they're doing now is trying to justify killing people by making you feel sad for those babies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's wrong with the babies in Gaza who have no electricity right now? And they won't have electricity for a year.
Or the babies in Ukraine. Same thing happened in the eastern Ukraine.
Yes.
It's interesting that we talked about oil today being the underwriting current for all this, because it does affect Gaza and it does affect Ukraine. And here we are in Iraq again. It's all the same issue,
yes.
No matter where you go.
It's all the same thing. That's why we're in Africa. That's why we're in Mali. They've got gold over there. So, you know, you can expect the same song, 18th verse. The U.S. personnel could be evacuated, and the people could be evacuated without 500-pound bombs. You don't have to do that. You know, you don't use humanitarian and 500-pound bombs in the same sentence. They're using only advisors. Well, if they had their way in Vietnam, they would have never sent any infantry in there. They were all advisors that went into Vietnam. Same kind of thing. The boy who cried rescue mission should not be allowed to get away with it after the documented deception of Libya, where a fictional threat to civilians was used to launch an all-out aggressive attack that has left that nation in ruins. The same thing is happening now. Not to mention the false claims about Syrian chemical weapons, false claim about missiles. You know, all of these things have gotten us to where we are today, and that's why those children, if there are children, on top of a mountain, crying and sad and in pain, it's because of the United States' involvement. Mm-hmm. Wherever there is war, there is the United States. Number two, the reason why, the top nine reasons to stop bombing Iraq. It's going to make things worse again. They say that the Sunni-Shia divide is a reason for this. Well, guess what? The Sunni-Shia divide is going to be a whole lot worse. Bombs do not reconcile people. Mm-mm. They harden hearts. They breed murders. They create things like ISIS, which is a government creation. And as long as people believe that ISIS just came out of nowhere because, oh, we're bad Al-Qaeda members that couldn't get a membership in Al-Qaeda, really. Number three, bombs kill, and they kill a lot of people. Massive bombing campaigns slaughter huge numbers of people, including those fighting the heck for the United States, against the United States. Anybody, everybody, just kills people. A 500-pound bomb, are you serious? And from the vantage point of the ground, an air war is the deadliest form of war there is. All right, number four, there are other options. Really, what a concept. The choice between bombing and doing nothing is as false now as it was in September last year. If you can drop food on some people, why can't you drop food on everyone? Hey, that would shock the heck out of them, wouldn't it? Just give them all food and let them all sort it out. But as it is now, what they're doing is they are giving food down there. And, of course, the 22-year-old men who can run fastest get the food, not the babies and not the older people. There's enough weapons already there to practically justify one of Colin Powell's slides retroactively. The U.S. accounts for 79% of foreign weapons transfers, ladies and gentlemen, to the Middle East. We make money on weapons and bombing. That's what it's all about. That and oil. We'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing. I want to remind you of the expo coming up this Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be held at 2431 North Gladstone, 2431 North Gladstone in Springfield, Missouri, and it's a beautiful little town down there. Also, I've got a couple of special packages, or Rosie does anyway. She has put together some really cool things that I think anybody needs and can use. Here's the first one, special emergency package. Now, we've only got six of these, and here's what they offer. You get a FR-150 weather radio. It's solar, dynamo, crank, and it has a USB port. So AM/FM NOAA weather. No shortwave on this one. AM/FM NOAA weather. Then you get an emergency poncho. Have you seen that hooded plastic poncho? Number three, you get an emergency sleeping bag. Nah, I wouldn't call this a sleeping bag myself, but it's made out of foil. Protect yourself from the weather. Mm-hmm. And it retains 90% of the body heat. And it can be used as an emergency reflector or ground covering. Then you get the potable aqua tabs. Those are aqua tabs that will purify up to 25 quarts of water. Then you will get a matchbox, water matchbox. And if you bought this together, it'd be about $50. But it's on sale for $38.75. $38.75. You get the weather radio, emergency poncho, sleeping bag, and loosely termed sleeping bag, I want to be honest with you. Potable aqua. What?
It's like an emergency sleeping bag. It's really what it is.
Really emergency.
Really emergency.
Yeah. Protect you from the ground. Yes. Waterproof matchbox. All of that together. That is $38.75. What a good deal. That's really, really a good deal. And then we have another special for you, which is a diffuser necklace. For those of you that are into essential oils, you're going to get a necklace. A rhodium chain, and it's specially designed to hold little pads in the pendant, refill pads, and are included with it. So it holds these little pads, and you put your essential oils on it, and you can wear it around your neck.
That'd
be nice. Cool?
You could hang that around your rearview mirror in your car, too.
Yes.
Make a nice car center.
Absolutely. And now the diffuser necklace, the refill pads for the pendant, the Young Living Peppermint Oil, which is included, all should be about $50.23, and it's now $40. Wow. So those of you who like would like a diffuser necklace, this is a great gift to give someone. Mm-hmm. Great gift. And it's also great for using when you are in the car and you have nausea, is the peppermint oil. So take advantage of getting those. We've only got 7 of those available for 7 people that call the Power Hour. Now, I wanted to also say that at the Expo this weekend, we're going to be bringing books. And what we're going to do is we're going to start out at $5 a book, and then toward the end of the day, it'll get cheaper and cheaper. $5 a book. What? You just had a scowl on your face.
I don't know. I didn't think that was a very good way to present that, because then people are just going to line up at the booth and then wait, sitting at the clock, waiting to save money.
You're new here. What do you have an opinion for?
Just saying.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see who wins. All right. So we're open. Hey, I take adverse reactions. That's no problem. Anyway, so these books are going to be available at the Power Mall. Now, a lot of them are books from our guests that we've had them on the program. And I'm just if we don't sell these books, I'm going to have to move the bed out of the bedroom. And please, I don't want to do that.
Again.
We need to get rid of some books. So it's not that they're not good books. They are great, but I can't keep them all at the Power Mall. And either that, or we'll have to move Rosie out over there at the Power Mall, because we need room. We need space. So anyway, that's what's going to happen on the this weekend. So please, and by the way, there's no email blast this week because Catherine is on vacation, sort of. She keeps emailing me. I forgot to tell you this. That girl is so amazing.
Yes.
So anyway, please try and get along without the email blast this week. So getting back to the news, the 9 reasons why we need to quit the war in Iraq. You know, there's a lot more than 9 reasons, I guarantee you, a lot more. But, you know, I think people are starting to get it. War is not the answer. Bombs kill. They kill a lot of people. There's other options we haven't thought about or we are not wanting to do. And it's going to cost a fortune for the United States. Money that could be used to... Did the people in Hurricane Sandy, did they ever get taken care of? What about Katrina? Did they ever get taken care of?
I'd be surprised if they did.
I know. I mean, don't we still have a little bit of a mess here? And here you've got what's happening in with these poor people in Gaza. I would be willing to bet, because we're not doing any humanitarian stuff to help Gaza, I would be willing to bet that that any of those people in Gaza would be willing to trade place with Obama at a $12 million per 2-week stay in Martha's Vineyard. Are you kidding?
I don't understand why we haven't mounted a rescue for the people in Gaza. You know, even if, okay, say the people want, there's people there that want to stay, they're part of Hamas, granted, but I would think that if you pulled a boat or a ferry up to the coast and said, okay, if you don't want to be here anymore, you can get on this boat and we'll take you to the UN or wherever, you know, someplace safe. I can't imagine that there wouldn't be a lot of takers on that offer.
Yes.
And why aren't we doing that? You know, we're arming Israel. We're paying for them to cause these conflicts, but we're not doing anything for the people in Gaza.
That's right. Nothing. Letting them just, you know, they deserve it. They're less than human down there, so let them fight it out. And besides, they sent some, you know, 10-pound bombs over to Israel. And I'm sorry, I'm not making light of that. 10-pound bombs can kill, too. But it's just the idea, though, that this is going to cost a fortune to bomb Iraq, to arm the Kurds. Hey, oh, by the way, how's that arming the enemy thing working out for you, huh? How is that working where they took all of our weapons, ISIS did, and then started shooting them at us, or allegedly could shoot at us? Bombs are environmental disasters. Forget about the idea that it kills people then. If that's okay with you, what about the environmental disaster of depleted uranium?
Mm-hmm.
And then there goes your civil liberties. Because remember, this ISIS group is all about they're going to come to the United States, says Lindsey Graham. They're all going to come to the United States. And we had that first car bomb in New York City. He's the one that said it, not me. The first car bomb in New York City, and it's on here in the United States.
Was Lindsey Graham the one who predicted the Charleston Harbor?
Yes.
Okay. Man, he is just, I can't imagine they let him on TV and say anything anymore.
He's so good, isn't he?
Oh.
He is must be psychic.
Right.
So there go our civil liberties, ladies and gentlemen. That's what ISIS is all about. It is about, oh, they got away from us over there. We didn't do enough. See, we should have killed them all and let God sort them out, and we didn't do it. And now here they are here in the United States. Mm-hmm. That is the end game. Not to mention the number 9 reason, war is illegal. War is illegal. international war crimes. So we've got people hurting all over the world and more war coming. And you've got a president who is acting like the greatest potentate in the whole entire world, off in a $12 million estate. What's wrong with us? What is wrong with us? You know, we talk about, you know, well, look at the president of Thailand, you know, the prime minister of Thailand. Look how bad he was over there. You think your guy with 27 fireplaces is any different in Washington, D.C.? Mm-hmm. And 26 Christmas trees? Are you kidding me? What is wrong with this man who can't say, think we're going to forego one vacation and take care of a few children in Gaza? What is wrong with
Biden him? He's already on his third vacation this month. I don't believe that there is anyone in a position of authority that could do anything about this that cares. I think that is the problem.
They can't because they're not supposed to do anything about it. This has been an agenda, have war with them. You think that they just voted in war? You know, Hillary Clinton is the big one. Well, don't do stupid stuff now, and we're going to have a love fest at, you know, at Martha's Vineyard tonight. That's what she said. She voted for the war with Iraq. All of this stuff is because people forget after about a week or two what happened the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, did I mention about the people, the veterans dying on a daily basis because they put some ridiculous guy in there to be the president of Colgate-Palmolive to be the head of the VA? Are you serious? Anyway, so the U.S. is sending arms to Iraq now to solve more problems that they created, sell more weapons. Obama's now sending 130 Marines as advisors. They're sending advisors only,
of course. That brings us up to, what, like 1,000 advising Marines over there on the ground?
But oh, at least.
No boots on the ground, though.
No boots on the ground. Yeah. None of them are wearing boots.
Mm-mm.
And the U.K. deploys Tornado jets for significant surveillance missions in North Iraq. And then we get to Russia, Ukraine.
I'm sorry, I got to stop on the tornado jets thing because those are not surveillance jets. Those are the 500-pound dropping jets, just to clarify. Not a lot you can see from the cockpit other than your target.
Well, yeah, but if they tell us they're surveillance jets, we'll believe that.
So. Well, I feel better knowing that they're surveillance.
Yeah, they're they're dual mission. Ukraine blocks Russian humanitarian convoy. Accuses the Kremlin of sending disguised military gear. Don't you love that? If we don't want him to come in here and look good, we'll just call it a... what's that called when you put really weapons inside of something?
Like a Trojan horse kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Diversion.
Yeah, we'll just call it a Trojan horse. That's it. And we'll tell them they can't come in here because you've got a Trojan horse in your... Yeah. Maybe Russia really wants to do something to say, hey, you know, hey, how about look in the truck and see? Did we see any inside of trucks and see Trojan horses? No.
Mm-mm.
But we'll tell everybody that. All right. Do you want to say anything about Ukraine before we move on?
Well, I find this situation with the trucks that are coming from essentially Moscow, it's like a two-day trip. So it's not like Russia is kind of hiding, you know what I mean? If I was going to do an attack and bring all these troops in, I would use the element of surprise, or at least as much of the element of surprise. I probably wouldn't say, hey, Ukraine, I'm sending 300 trucks from Moscow. It's going to be about 48 hours until they get there. Be ready. You know, I mean, obviously, Russia is not trying to do something underhand or under the table with this particular thing. I find it unusual that they're sending them from that far away. I thought for sure Russia, especially Sevastopol area, could mount some kind of humanitarian effort from much closer. But, you know, coming from Moscow seems a bit unusual. But they're big white trucks. They're all the same. They're all uniform. I agree with you. If they stop them at the border and look at them, then they should be allowed in.
Well, the other thing is they paint them all white. I mean, like, if they wanted to sneak a Trojan horse in, it's going to be in a white truck, everybody. So
200 matching white trucks is a little bit overt, yeah.
Very similar to UN trucks, I just would add. Okay, moving on. Spanish priest becomes the first man to die of Ebola. Do we have a problem with Ebola yet? Not quite yet, but we're getting there. And they're working on it. And I think we're going to be talking to Sherry Edwards about that in the next hour also. But it's all about getting the fear, the fear, the fear. And now they're saying, well, we're out of medicine already. We gave 3 whole vaccines, and we're out. We're done.
What's interesting about the situation in Spain is that gentleman was given the ZMapp medicine, and he still died. So bringing these guys back into some civilized part of the world so they can go to a professional hospital and get this professional treatment didn't work. Didn't work there. So we just brought Ebola into Spain for no reason whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
So
they've got Ebola contaminated stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you the other day, IV fluids, bed linens. What do they do with all that stuff? What about things that come out of the body. You know, what about all that stuff? What are their food containers? I mean, you're talking about so much stuff that is contaminated. All it takes is one.
Mm-hmm.
One to get out there. Okay. I don't know anything else to say about Ebola except that they are really working on the fear issue. And they're working on the idea that we're trying to find a vaccine as fast as we can, and we're going to have to fast track this thing, and we're not going to be able to test it. But, oh, well, you know, your life is going to depend upon it. So everybody get ready for the new required vaccine that's going to come down the pike. HealthMap Advanced Social Warning System detects that Ebola outbreak may already be here. An electronic information gathering and mapping system, the web bot, actually spotted the hemorrhagic fever outbreak. And I thought this was amazing. They spotted it in West Africa 9 days before it hit the press following the WHO's announcement. Now, how does that work?
Well, this HealthMap kind of works like WebBot does. WebBot is another program that just essentially crawls the entire web and aggregates information, uses algorithms to figure out if things are going to happen or if a lot of people are talking about the same type of event. It will flag it and things like that. HealthMap does the same thing. It scours tens of thousands of websites, social media, local news, government websites, even into some healthcare workers like physicians' social networks and physicians' doctors' offices and things like that. So essentially, anytime a disease is mentioned or there's a report that's generated because of that disease, a little flag will come up on this map. And because of that flagging, they were able to show Ebola 9 days before it hit the press, in West Africa. And there are right now today 75 potential triggers on the map in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Now, that's not to say that there is Ebola in the country. That is saying, given this health map's the health map's ability in the past to predict effectively, we can kind of look at this potential to predict again effectively as being, potential, basically. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that there could be Ebola coming to the country, if not being here already.
We know one thing. It's not going to be good. Okay? That's all we need to know. It's not going to be good. I forgot to mention that the death toll in the Ukraine conflict has doubled in 2 weeks. It's reached 2,086, but it's not bad enough yet there. The number of killed and wounded in eastern Ukraine, that's huge. That's huge.
That's more than has died in Gaza. Just to put that into perspective, the Gaza death toll, I think, is about 1,900 now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of people.
60 people are dying a day. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an RT story. So this is what Russia is saying. So does this mean we got to go get Russia? Is that what they're going to be the bottom line here? But it seems that NATO is baiting Russia into war. Mm-hmm. Russia's consistently portrayed in the Western media as the aggressor amid this ongoing conflict. It's clear, though, the overt moves by NATO's proxy regime in Kiev. So get ready for another war. You know, another war or a war with Russia at the same time of Ebola coming? I mean, Canada now says they have 1,000 experimental Ebola vaccine doses that they're going to give away to the WHO to use wherever they're needed.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, Ebola and a war with Russia at the same time? I mean, could that happen? And if it did happen, I mean, that's just like more chaos than we can even conceive of.
Mm-hmm.
We can even conceive of. All right, let's move to another chaotic situation, which is in St. Louis, Ferguson, Missouri. They closed the airspace over St. Louis, which is like unheard of, because Ferguson is right next to the St. Louis airport.
It's pretty close, yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've got now a bunch of people rioting in St. Louis last night. Though I believe it was less than they had expected or hoped for, depends on how you look at the
situation. I think that heavy police response we saw yesterday probably did quite a bit to tone it down last night.
And I think the family is doing a lot also. The family is really doing a good job in saying, now, wait a minute, please don't do this stuff. Well, please, in the name of my son, don't do it.
That's not helping the community at all, and that's what needs to happen right now, is the community needs to come together. I mean, I understand why people are so frustrated. You know, they haven't even named the police officer that actually pulled the trigger yet. It's been 3 days.
They refuse.
They refuse to name him because he's getting death threats. Okay.
And they refuse to mention how many times he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
with his hands in the air. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are coming forward now with stories, credible people saying, hey, police, you're lying. Now, here's what's going to happen. If the police are lying and they prove it, ooh. Oh, boy. Yeah. We'll be back after this 3-minute break with the Power Hour. Stay tuned. This is Joyce.
And JD.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing. We were talking about the tragedy in Ferguson of Michael Brown and those parents. Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. He was supposed to be in college now. He graduated in May, finished all of his courses in high school, was so proud to be the first person to attend college in his family. And now, you know, they're left with nothing but this riot on their hands. And my question was, is the riot going to be televised? Because that's kind of where we are now. I mean, we're not thinking about this young man who died. And I don't know what else we can say about him other than my heart goes out for that to that family. Mm-hmm. But when I said, is the revolution going to be televised in St. Louis, your response was...
That's a no, because they're going to shut down the airspace. That'll keep you from being able to see film. They're not going to let film footage go in. They're just going to go in and clean up the riot. It'll be however the police do it, and we'll never hear anything
about it. So it's not to protect airplanes. It's not to protect airplanes.
Well, the original, this FAA closure is actually because people were shooting at police helicopters. They were shooting at police helicopters and throwing rocks and bricks and things like that, trying to hit guys in the helicopters. So the FAA said nobody's going to be above the area. But I can't imagine that the police aren't still, you know, flying at least at a much higher altitude, but still there.
Okay, moving on. Feds will not tell the Texas school districts how many unaccompanied minors to expect. Now, that just makes no sense whatsoever. But that's part of the no-sense government that we have now and chaos.
But, okay, but how likely is it that they know? You know, my response to that is they're letting these kids go. They're giving them waivers and hoping they show back up. They don't know what school district they're going to show up in. You know, I mean, how would they possibly know that? I understand that that's important for the educators to know how many kids are going to have coming into their schools and such, but we dropped that ball already. That logistical ball has been dropped from Jump Street, so there's just no way that they could know that information.
But this has been planned for 2 years. Mm-hmm. They could have planned this if they wanted.
Right, if they wanted to keep some kind of logistical list of where these kids were going to go and where they ended up, but then you'd have to have people tracking these kids as we're releasing them into the wild of America, which we don't have the resources for that, so. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an unknowable answer at this point.
Yeah. Weird coincidence happened. And, you know, the story with Robin Williams, I'm in such pain. I don't know about you, but by the end of the evening last night, just missing him so much. Mm-hmm. And a tragedy. The guy had to be in so much pain. And listening to the blogs that were just cruel to him about cashing out early and all those horrible things they were saying. We don't have any idea how much pain this man must have been in to have done what he did. Mm-hmm. And then there was a story on Family Guy, and Paul Joseph Watson says that the suicide episode aired the night before or right near the time of Robin Williams' death. And you said...
Well, it was a repeated episode. It wasn't a new episode.
That's important to know.
It had been played a few times. It is an unusual coincidence that episode was drawing to a close. And essentially, when that episode ended on the evening that he passed away, there was only about a 15-minute lag between when the news came out that he had passed away and the ending of the show. But as I said, it was a repeat. And they obviously planned to play that show in advance, a couple of weeks in advance, because that's how they plan shows. Mm-hmm. So probably just a coincidence, just happens to be an awful one.
It had played, this was the third time it was a played, J.D. said. Mm-hmm. So, and Southwest braces as Lake Mead water levels drop. I saw this last night on TV. This is unbelievable. It's got only 35% of the water it's supposed to have at Lake Mead.
Yeah, the edge of the lake is startling to see right now because it's like parts of it that haven't been in daylight or air for years are all of a sudden up in the air. And it's just like, wow, that's really low.
It is like apocalyptic to look at it. Mm-hmm. It really is. And Pittsburgh Airport is going to host a fracking site starting this month. Fracking, you know, we've kind of forgotten about these kind of domestic issues because we just move on to the latest war and whatever.
They're going to frack at the airport?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the floundering Pittsburgh International Airport is expected to soon begin earning nearly a quarter of its annual operating budget by letting a local energy company conduct fracking operations under the once booming air traffic hub.
Wow.
So you got it there. Kill switch. Smartphone kill switch passes in California. Guess what? And 5 blood sugar regulating foods for diabetics in the email... at the Power Hour News section, and how to manage arthritis naturally. We'll be back after this 1 minute, 10 second break. Stay tuned. see that California congressman that said...